Hey, good morning. My name is Andrea Smith. I have the privilege of being the pastor here at West Church, and we are so glad that you are checking us out this morning. If you are newer to the West community, we would invite you to text the word welcome to the number that you see on the screen, or if you're listening, I'll read the number to you. So if you want to get your phones ready, but we're glad that you're here. We have a gift for you we'd like to send, and then you can choose if you want to hear from us again or not. You can text the word welcome to 704-343-8955. 704-343-8955. We're glad that you are joining in this morning. We are in the middle of a message series about how we communicate. And the whole point of this message series is geared towards us having the best relationships that we can have with each other. So I want you to think about something for just a minute. I want you to conjure up in your mind the last time you had an argument with someone that you cared about. It could be someone that you work with, one of your children, your spouse, significant other, a best friend, sometime that you have recently argued with someone. What we're going to do today is we are actually going to talk about the four different temperaments that we have. Temperaments are different than personalities. Personalities are how we grow and change and morph over our lifetime and how we live out of being emotionally intelligent individuals. Our temperaments, those are the ways that we are innately wired from God, like how we are created. It's our go-to. It's what we act out of. There are four different temperaments. Hopefully, if you are newer to us, after worship, you can go take the quiz. So just sort of listen for an overview. If you've already taken the quiz today, what we're going to do is we're going to walk through all the strengths and all the weaknesses of the four temperaments. We're going to do that part really quickly, but it's important that you not just listen to yourself and to your own strengths and weaknesses, but you pay attention to the strengths and the weaknesses of the people that you are in relationship with. We were joking around as a staff that before worship that we've given this to our families, and it's so interesting once we figure out what their temperaments are. If we are aware of the strengths and the weaknesses, then it helps us communicate better. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that, one personal and then one as a staff. We did a little talking session a week ago, and Brad and Lindsay and Dawn and I talked about some situations that we have used this in our own working environment. So we're going to share that with you. Hopefully by the end of today's message, you'll be like, oh, okay, now I get why I do what I do, why I say what I say, and then we'll all work on being better people so that we can have healthy and happy relationships with each other. None of us like to live in conflict. And so our point at West is to help you have the tools that you need to live a rich and full life. So thanks for joining in today. Take a look and listen to this song.
This is about understanding people to the core. Figuring out what you said and what they heard, and eliminating this gray area in between. By you understanding your authentic wiring, you'll become the very best version of yourself. What we will be learning about is temperaments, which is the why behind your personality. All of your relationships, every decision you make, and every word you speak. This is going to be a fun journey.
So one of the things that is important for us when we find ourselves in situations and we become uncomfortable and we start acting out of our less than best selves, it's important to be able to stop and say, okay, why am I acting this way? Because if we will take a pause and we will stop and think about that, then we can change our actions. Once upon a time, in the land where you could gather in large groups, groups of people. I had been contacted by a venue, and they needed a preacher for a wedding. And I see weddings as a great opportunity to introduce people to West, especially if they're unchurched. And so I was like, yeah, I'd love to. Actually, it was earlier this year, and Tom went with me. We were the only, literally myself and Tom, and the wedding venue coordinator. Those are the only people there I knew. Now, normally in social settings, I can talk to a stop sign, and Tom can as well. So we both were there, and I'm like, this is going to be fun. It'll just be a great evening. Now, like, we were sitting at this large table, and again, with people that I'd never met. I thought, this is fine. You know, we'll make chit-chat. And there was no chit-chat. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I got up and went and did the whole food thing, came back. And at some point, like, I found myself sitting at the table alone. And I felt like I was back in middle school. It was the whole, like, covering up your mouth they were staring at me, and I'm like, have I had a wardrobe malfunction? I could not figure out what was going on. I got up and went to the restroom, and then I really was back in middle school. We all ended up in the restroom at the same time, and there was a little huddle. Then there's poor little me, and I don't normally go around going, oh, poor me, but in this particular situation, I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable. So finally, when we got back to the table, and we're still in the middle of Mean Girls, the movie lived out at a wedding venue, I found myself thinking things that were not kind. And then I found myself, like, I'm like tapping Tom on the shoulder, and I'm like, let me tell you this. And I was saying, I mean, I sounded like I had regressed. Gosh, middle school was a long time ago. I was saying such catty things. I'm like, you would never know that I'm supposed to be, like, representing Jesus here and now. And I remember thinking, why am I doing this? Like, what is wrong with me? And now, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I was acting out of my stressed self, my weaknesses, because I was uncomfortable. And in that setting and in that situation, I was not able to act out of my strengths. I was acting out of my weaknesses. And when we do that, when our temperaments are triggered, we revert to the things that are our weaknesses. And when we do that, we say things that hurt people. Now, luckily, you know, Tom knows me, so he gave me grace with my catty remarks, but I would have been mortified if anyone else had heard what I said that evening. Our words hurt one another. Our words also heal and help one another. So as followers of Christ, as worshipers of God, and a people of love, we want, right, to be kind and loving to each other. So that's what today is about. It is not a conventional, like, message where I'm like, okay, here's the scripture and we're going to flesh it out. Today is probably more of a self-help kind of thing, but we are doing it on the foundation of we really do want to be and act like Jesus for each other. And in order to do that, we need to understand what makes us tick. How are we wired? There's a verse that the Apostle Paul, one of the followers of Christ who was converted, he had this amazing, like, aha experience and fell in love with the person of Jesus and the way that Jesus revolutionized everything. And Paul went around starting new churches. And this verse that we're getting ready to read, these are some of the words that he uttered to his church in Ephesus. Take a look. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So even Paul points that out, right? Like, we need to use our words so that they benefit other people. We don't ever want to tear people down. We want to build people up. Like I mentioned to you a few days ago or a week ago or so, some of the staff and I gathered. We've all taken the temperament thing, and we're learning more about each other. And we had a dialogue, and we're going to show you two clips from that dialogue today. We talked about our strengths and our weaknesses together as a team. And so I want to show you this quick clip of us talking about our strengths before we dive in to the strengths and the weaknesses of each color. Take a look.
Well, I think one of the first ones right off the bat is reliable. I have always just kind of been known as when something needs to get done, you know, they give it to me and I get it done no matter what. Pardon the phrase, come hell or high water, I get the job done. So that definitely is me, along the same lines as responsible. I tend to be a very responsible person regarding, you know, whatever the job is or whatever needs to happen. Those are probably the two stronger of the strengths that we listed there. Another one, likable. As everybody knows me out there, I'm a friend to all. I definitely can stand up against a brick wall and talk to it for hours. So, you know, I have not met an enemy. Everybody is my friend. So I can be friends with all. So those are the four strongest ones. And then to kind of pick a fifth one would be maybe supportive. Would be another probably good one for me, because that's one thing I will support anybody in whatever they need to get done. I'm the first one to try to help out and make sure of it. So those would probably be my five that I would probably call out that I would thank myself.
Cool. Very good. Dawn, what about you?
The ones that jumped out to me, mediator. Definitely, I'm always trying to keep the peace in my house, amongst my peers, just whatever the situation. Reliable, also resonated with me. If I say I'm going to do something, then I'm going to do it. And I'm not very likely to back out. Can recognize all sides of the issues. So I have an easier time being able to understand where other people are coming from, even if it's not what I'm thinking and feeling. Appreciate strengths in others. That one really popped out to me. I do enjoy seeing other people use their strengths and enjoy strengths that they have that maybe I don't have. And forgiving. It's just, I've always really found it really easy to forgive, and I've always wondered why, but
I know.
God made me that way.
So the five that stuck out to me are empathetic, and kind of going along with that, sensitive to others. I tend to take on people's emotions and let it affect me, which is, I mean, that's kind of a weakness sometimes, but it can be a strength. Loyal and devoted. I'm very devoted to getting the job done and to my team, and loyal to the team. Makes charts, graphs, and lists. I live by my to-do list, so that definitely is me. And deep friendships, quality over quantity. I don't just, you know, have a bunch of friends and then don't really, you know, I really care about the friendships. And I really care about people. I'm a people person. So
the five that spoke to me the most about my temperament is that I do show emotions openly, positive and negative emotions. Many times I've been told that I should never play poker, that everyone will know. And I think y'all would say, you know exactly how I'm feeling. I don't have to say a word. My eyes tell it all. So I do show emotions openly. I believe and I hope that I apologize quickly. I'm willing to see when I'm wrong and not arrogant
in that I won't admit it. And if I am wrong, I really will apologize quickly. And one of the other strong strengths of Yellows is that we correct our wrongs. Like if you tell me that I'm doing this to you, and because we're so people oriented, if we're doing this wrong, we will work to correct it. And I do try to do that. I do think quickly, and I do express myself very directly in conflict. The shadow side of that is perhaps the people you're in conflict with may not necessarily enjoy that. I know that there's been a few boards of directors that have been very grateful when Andrea had an exit from that board. Because I do. I mean, if we have conflict, I'm not going to have 10 parking lot meetings to talk about it. We need, Jesus said, if you have a problem with somebody, bring it to them. So I do. I hope I inspire others to join. If I'm not, then we have a really big problem. And the last one that I thought really spoke to me was thrives on compliments. I do. And that has a shadow side, but I do respond to positive affirmation. So
hopefully you could identify with some of those. We didn't have a red person represented on the staff team in that meeting, but we do have lots of red people on our staff team. So what we're going to do right now is we are going to walk very, very quickly through the strengths and the weaknesses of each temperament. Now, one of the things I want to caution us against, and I mean all of us, is like, so if you identify the temperament of those that you love, the next time that you're in conversation with them and it's not going exactly the way that you would like for it to, don't say, well, you know what, you're acting blah, 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 you know, and point out their weaknesses. That's probably not why we're doing this. This is for you to process, not say, oh, you're being so conflict avoidant, or you're being so stubborn or emotionally withdrawn or whatever. Anytime we're in conflict with someone else, it's just best to say, I feel like, or I think, not you do this. Because anytime you start saying you, it's accusatory. So it's always best when we're in a conflictual situation to talk about I, which is important, because that way, if we learn our strengths and our weaknesses, we'll be more in touch with how we think and how we feel, and it'll help us live out being our best selves. So now, if you're using a device, I would invite you to look at the screen. If you're typically just, you know, like if you're cooking breakfast right now and you lay your phone down, I invite you to either just pause and listen as I read these, or pick up your screen and read the words and follow along with me. We're going to do the strengths of the color first, and then we're going to do the weaknesses. All right. So we're going to start with blue. Blue people with the blue temperament are empathetic, deep and thoughtful, serious and purposeful, conscientious, honest, creative, musical and artistic, works well alone, a great listener, orderly, emotionally secure, philosophical and poetic, idealistic, high integrity, perfectionist, sensitive to others, cautious, respectful, focused, needs to finish what is started, scheduled, detailed and accurate, neat, tidy, sees the obstacles and finds creative solutions, sincere, loyal and devoted, problem solver, punctual, enjoys solitude, deep friendships, quality over quantity, reflective, can handle crisis with grace, prefers facts and logic, self-sacrificing, content to stay in the background, move to tears with compassion, methodical, analytical, excels in research, makes charts, graphs, and lists. So those are the strengths of blue people. It was fun when the staff and I did this together. Like, I have zero blue. Therefore, that explains my lack of neat and tidiness, my lack of punctuality. And the other thing that we want to do when we realize, like, this is not my temperament, we don't want to use it as a crutch. So, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years that I'm still working on is that when I am late, it shows absolute disrespect to the other people that I am in relationship with, whether it's for a meeting or whether it's for something personal. If I'm late, it says that I and my time are more important than the other person. Now, if I'm not living out of being my best self, I'll say, you know what? It is just not in my temperament for me to be punctual. And so therefore, I never have to be. And that would be misusing what we're learning about ourselves. The whole point is to see where we have growth opportunities and try to fix those, try to live into our strengths and overcoming our weaknesses so that we can be the best person for those that we're in relationship with. So just went through all the strengths of the blue. Now let's walk through the weaknesses. Blue people tend to remember the negative, moody, enjoy being hurt, have false humility. They're often another world, low self-image, has selective hearing, reserved, too introspective, have feelings of guilt, tend towards hypochondria, not people-oriented, depressed over personal imperfections, hesitant to start projects, spend too much time planning, prefers analysis to work, self-deprecating, hard to please, standards are often too high, insecure socially, withdrawn and remote, critical of others, holds back affection, dislikes those in opposition, suspicious, antagonistic, skeptical, revengeful, fearful, unforgiving, judgmental, guarded, self-righteous, worried, suspicious, depressed, sensitive, hates to be interrupted, insecure, and fears failure. So one of the things when we look at our strengths and our weaknesses is sometimes we have a tendency to be like, oh, that's not me. Oh, that's not me. Oh, that's not me. But really, if you've taken the temperament inventory and you've gotten your color and your temperament, these things are, I mean, these are proven over time. These ideas, they are several thousand years old. They are traced back to Aristotle and Plato and Socrates. So this is not something that just some new age modern psychologist came up with. These are aged temperament ideas and strengths and weaknesses. And so they really are important. The next color that we are going to do is red. Red strengths. A dynamic leader, delegates well, ability to correct wrongs, decisive, can control emotions in emergencies, independent and self-sufficient, energetic, adventurous, appears confident, energized by challenges, persuasive, bold, resourceful, pragmatic, self-directed, disciplined, competitive, not easily discouraged, leads and encourages production, practical, productive, moves quickly to action, can take charge when needed, is usually right, or thinks they are, efficient and effective with materials and time, gets it done, authoritative and powerful, driven, influential, logical, thrives on opposition, committed and loyal, articulates thoughts and ideas well, great sense of perspective, responsible, comfortable with power, capable of bouncing back from difficulties, always has a plan and a purpose, highly task-oriented, compulsive need for change, and sets and achieves goals. And now let's dive into the weaknesses of red temperaments. Red people can be bossy, impatient, quick-tempered, can't relax, doesn't shy away from controversy, enjoys arguments, won't give up when losing, comes on too strong, inflexible, is not complimentary, dislikes tears and emotions, is unsympathetic, little tolerance for mistakes, doesn't analyze details, bored by trivial things, may make rash decisions, may be rude or tactless, manipulates people, demanding of others, the end justifies the means, work may become an idol, demands loyalty, may use people, dominates, knows everything, can do everything better, too independent, possessive of friends or spouse, has trouble saying I'm sorry, may be right but unpopular, decides for others, headstrong, prideful, domineering, intolerant, nervy, selfish, arrogant, aggressive, and doesn't listen. So, confession, my second color is red, and those are the only two I have, yellow and red. So there's like no blue and no green. So apparently I don't care anything about harmony. We're going to get to green people in just a minute. But so as I was reading those, I'm like, yeah, oh my goodness, some of those really make me cringe. You know, if I'm really angry and in a difficult situation, number one, I will not shy away from an argument. Those that love me will say, I think you just want a good argument. And it's not not that I want to fight, but I want to be right, because red people have a tendency to think we're always right. And so we won't shy away from that. And it's just important, again, the self-awareness. And like, I realize sometimes I have a hard time saying I'm sorry, which is the opposite of my strength of yellow. And so it's just, it's really fascinating. And what I hope that you will do is, after today's message, we're going to publish these on our website. And I hope that you'll take some time, you'll download them. And this week in our meditations, I'm going to give you some things to think about. So like, when I am stressed, I have a tendency to do this. But what I should do is do this. So like, when we're triggered, we will identify that we're triggered and learn to stop the living out of our weaknesses, start living out of our strengths. And I promise, if we will do those things, our conflictual situations will just decrease exponentially. So now we are going to dive into green people. Some of those closest to me are green, and green folks, they are so harmonious and just easygoing. They are great compliments to red people. So green people's strengths: kind, considerate, balanced, accommodating, easygoing and relaxed, consistent, quiet but witty, listens well, diplomatic, steady and even-tempered, friendly, cooperative, agreeable, good under pressure, mediator, negotiator, reliable, content, likable, responsible, a leader, shepherd, faithful, compassionate, patient, can recognize all sides of issues, receptive to ideas, does well when goals are clear, supportive, tolerant, appreciates strengths in others, a great team player, forgiving, generous, warm and inviting, cautious, can work well alone, fair and tactful, finds the easy way, sensible, reflective, not easily provoked or insulted, great common sense. We all want to go find some green friends, right? Like, green people, they're just the most chill and most easygoing. But green people have some weaknesses, so let's look at those. Unenthusiastic, fearful, worried, indecisive, avoids responsibility, selfish, too shy, too compromising, self-righteous, lacks self-motivation, hard to get moving, resents being pushed, can appear lazy, discourages others, would rather watch, no sense of urgency, dampens enthusiasm, stays uninvolved, indifferent to plans, judges others, sarcastic, resists change, doubtful, reticent, teasing, messy, timid, compromising, sluggish, uninvolved, ambivalent, nonchalant, plain, aimless, stubborn, unexpressive, boring, mumbles, hesitant, and blank. Now, the last color that we're going to look at today is yellow. So yellow people, their strengths, our strengths are: lives in the moment, shows emotions openly, inspiring, great storyteller, optimistic, joyful, curious, cheerful, sincere, popular, encouraging, persuasive, creative, volunteers for jobs, active, people-oriented, spontaneous, apologizes quickly, doesn't hold grudges, likes variety, emotional, expressive, animated, adventurous, affectionate, accepts others easily, can turn crisis into comedy, thinks quickly, easy to talk to, can express self directly in conflict, works better with people, disciplined if tasks are fun and challenging, excellent at short-term projects, excels when there are visible results, non-judgmental, good on stage, inspires others to join, has energy and enthusiasm, looks great on the surface, charms others to work, thrives on compliments, and is charismatic. And every strength has a shadow side. So let's look at the shadow sides of yellow people. We are compulsive talkers, exaggerates and elaborates, dwells on trivial things, can't remember names, scares other people off, which I'm not sure how to do that and be a preacher, too happy for some, has restless energy, egotistical, blusters and complains, naive, has a loud voice and laugh, controlled by circumstances, gets angry easily, seems phony to some, never grows up, forgets obligations, doesn't follow through, confidence fades fast, undisciplined, priorities are out of order, decides by feelings, easily distracted, hates to be alone, wants to be popular, looks for credit, dominates conversations, interrupts, answers for others, makes excuses, repeats stories, doesn't listen, hides insecurities, self-centered, impulsive, vain, disorganized, uncommitted, dramatic, scatterbrained, and a show-off. So the next time that I make you angry as your pastor, please don't write and say, you know what, you're just being a show-off, you're not apologizing quickly. If you could just refrain from, like, and for those of you watching that love me, like my children, if you could just refrain from, you know, like pointing out all the weaknesses. Now, what I want to show now is the importance of this, because we really do all find ourselves in situations that can be different, and they can go one way and go really well, or go another way and end up disastrous. So I've been studying the temperaments and that kind of stuff for over, honestly, like a year and a half, 2 years. I got the book a couple of years ago as soon as it was published and before it even hit the big circuit. And I was fascinated by it. And then the staff took the quiz a while back. And so I've just been trying to pray about it and learn the temperaments of the staff so that I can be the best leader that I am created and called to be. And so what came out in our sharing time was just an awareness of how the staff see themselves and how we've seen some of our situations. And we had really productive conversation around a situation that honestly could have gone really poorly. And but because there was an awareness of our temperaments, it kept me from running my mouth when I shouldn't, and it kept me from overreacting. So I want you to take a look.
Yeah, Dawn, what about you?
No sense of urgency. I could remember a time when I think you spoke those words to me.
Oh, directly, right? In a conflictual situation.
I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something. And I was definitely dragging my feet a little bit, you know, just the calm, cool, collected, laid back. And like, where's your sense of urgency? I'm like, oh, okay. Do we really need to get on this?
Do you have green?
Yes, I'm equally blue and green.
Okay, so I'll confess to you now in this moment. It was Christmas Eve, and the number of registrations kept going up. Like every time I would refresh the Google document, yes. We'd have 5 more cars.
And I'm like, yay.
And y'all were like, oh, this is amazing. I'm like, no, it's not. We don't have bread. We don't have juice. We don't have gift cards. We don't have welcome packets. We don't have enough stockings for the children. And so, like, we were getting the plan, you know, and we're like, okay, we're going to do this, this, this. And I went to Harris Teeter because y'all were managing so many of the details. And I knew I didn't know enough about the details to do anything. So I figured I could go shopping. I can shop. And so I went to Harris Teeter to get more communion bread and juice. And I came back and y'all were just sitting back there with the candles and you were talking about, so what are y'all going to do for Christmas? And I'm like, could we not divide and conquer? Why are y'all both like having chit chat over the candles? Like, where is your urgency? And I do, I swear to you, I remember thinking, is there no sense of urgency right now? Like, what are y'all doing? And so, but because I do know my weaknesses, I mean, luckily I've been in enough preacher academies and stuff like that, that they've really made us study our personality quirks. I know that, like with the red, one of my weaknesses is that I am demanding. And I've had enough staff people tell me that over the years. I mean, I know that. And so, whereas I think it is okay to be demanding, it must be done with kindness and consistency and fairness. And so the last thing that I needed to do on Christmas Eve, after y'all had already worked so many over hours trying to make this an excellent experience and meaningful experience for the community and so many new people. Like, we knew that there were so many new people coming to this that had never checked out West before. I at least, and I'm so grateful, had enough common sense. And I always try to be in a spirit of prayer. Like when I'm in conflictual situations, I'll be like, okay, God, I need to chill out. Help me chill out. You know, help me handle this. Don't let me say anything stupid. I knew enough to not say, hello, you know, Christmas Eve starts in 2 hours and y'all are chit-chatting about your Christmas plans. Can we worry about that after we like get the candles with batteries? You know, I knew not to do that because that would kill your morale. And I was so grateful for all that you had already done. But I did know that we needed a little heightened sense of urgency. So I just thought, okay, Dawn, if you'll go do this, Lindsay, if you'll go do this. And we just divided and conquered. Yeah. And I did that without being a jerk.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm aware of my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think that's such an important part of this is knowing. You know, and I think it's funny when we read these and we're like, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me.
Yeah.
Actually, they are, especially if it's your predominant temperament. Right. I mean, there probably is some truth in each of those. And if you don't think that there is, then I invite you to ask some of your family members or your friends. When I was watching Eidelman do her talk with the people, you know, the red person's like, none of this is me. And then the lady, Eidelman, kept talking, and the lady, the volunteer, was like, I hear that from my husband and my children.
every day,
multiple times a day. So maybe there is some truth in that.
So for the sake of time, I couldn't show you the whole like 55 minutes of our dialogue together as a staff. But one of the things that I appreciated and do appreciate about our staff team is we own our stuff, and we all have strengths, and we do all have weaknesses, and we recognize them and we respect one another because of them. Now, I didn't show you that so I could be like all self-promoting and be like, yeah, look at what a great boss I am. For every time that I have shut my mouth and not said an inappropriate thing, there's probably 20 times that I have said, you know, things that come out a little harsher than I want them to, or I've been too demanding, or whatever all of my other weaknesses are. We're always going to mess up. And a really key component to this is that we forgive one another. That's one of the ultimate lessons that Jesus shows us over and over again in the way that he lives his life and in the way that he gave his life and sacrificed his life in some of his final words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are called to know what we do. We're called to know how our words heal and help. And we're called to know how our words hurt. And it is our responsibility to fix that. It is not the responsibility of the listener. It is on us. So that verse that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only for what is helpful for building others up according to what they need, so it will benefit those who listen. This week, may we be really, really intentional about paying attention to what those in our midst need. And may we make it our responsibility to try to give them what they need, not what we need. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you do call us to be in relationship with one another, and we are blessed with so many relationships and so many different facets, friends that are dear to us or people that we love intimately, colleagues, and even strangers that we meet that we impact with our words. God, will you help us be more mindful of the things that we say and how it comes across, how we are heard. Help us be more cognizant of those in our midst and what they need to hear from us, so that we may be people bringing peace and unity instead of discord in our relationships. Forgive us of the times that we do fall short of being our best selves. And God, help us forgive those that hurt us with their words. And God, those that we've hurt, help us have the courage to ask for forgiveness and confess when we know we're not living out of being our best selves, so that we can be a people of love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I really wish sometimes you could see like the outtakes of what happens here on Sunday morning, you know, especially like when we're here in such a small space and not the big auditorium at Lake Norman High School. Like I needed to go to my car to get something. And so I didn't tell Josh where I was going. And so I just went to my car. I didn't think anything about it. And I walked back in and I hear Josh saying to Amy Burton, "Amy, are you going to do the benediction? Where'd she go?" And Amy's like, "She's coming back." And like I do, I always come back. Maybe not timely, but I come back. It is a privilege to be on this staff team. One of the reasons that I think we're so successful as a team is we communicate well and we own our stuff and we all do. Like none of us are perfect. That's the key to a healthy relationship in any form is communication. And the onus, honestly, really is on us to be the best communicators we can be. Jesus said to love one another. May we go this week and be a people of love in the ways that we communicate with all of those in our midst. Go in peace. Amen.